welcome to the Locked On Leafs podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's brother from TSN's Overdrive. You can hit me up on Twitter at @Mickey_Canuck. Follow the show as well at Locked On Leafs. If you like what you hear today, please consider subscribing to the podcast. Leave a rating, leave a review, all that good stuff. That'd be greatly appreciated. We got a few things that we're going to talk about today. We're going to break down the Aaron Dell signing a little bit more. I did see kind of Leafs Twitter. That's a lot of you guys, Leafs Twitter, because if you come to a Locked On Leafs podcast and you're looking for Leafs content, that means that you're a hardcore hockey or Leafs fan, and odds are you're also very active on social media, which I love. I really do. I love getting active on social media myself, so the fact that you guys are as well is fantastic. But something that I saw a lot was after this signing was a lot of people kind of were skeptical as to what this was. Did this mean that they were going to make a goalie change? Was one of Anderson or Campbell going to get traded? You know, is Aaron Dell going to be the real number two? And I thought that it was just kind of bizarre that thought was going through some people's heads, to be quite honest with you. Not saying that you guys were the ones saying it, but I did see it on Twitter. And I'm going to kind of explain a little bit why I don't think that is the case. I think that he's coming in to be a third goaltender, and I'll explain why that is. Also, we're going to have an interesting chat about what Vegas Golden Knights owner Bill Foley had to say on a radio hit in Las Vegas, hinting possibly that the NHL could be discussing an all-Canadian division next year during the pandemic for the 2020-2021 season. And that has me intrigued. So we'll talk about that. Also go through and do a power rankings about the Canadian teams, who would be in that division. So definitely stay tuned for a little bit later in the podcast when we get to that. I also have the clip of him actually speaking when he talked about it and when he kind of let it slip. So I'll play that as well. So you'll definitely want to stick around for the rest of this podcast. But before we get into that, you know, let's talk about this Aaron Dell signing. It's a 1 year, $800,000 contract, and he's coming in to be the third goalie. He's come out and said this publicly that the Leafs have brought him in and his role is to be the third behind Freddie Anderson and Jack Campbell. He also believes that he'll be able to come in and compete for that number two job. And if he ends up beating out Campbell, I mean, you're obviously going to try and ice the best players you can. If it turns out that Campbell, you know, kind of has a bad season or it goes into a bad stretch and Aaron Dell is playing really good and it seems like he's earned himself an opportunity to showcase himself to be the number two, I think that he'll get the opportunity, but he's coming in being the number three. And the good thing about the contract only being $800,000 is that this is a totally variable contract, and if they don't want any of that $800,000 against the cap, it doesn't have to be. They can bury that in the minors and just have him be the third goalie in case of injury. And injuries can certainly occur. Certainly. But I think it's just, you know, having that insurance, right? He's kind of an insurance policy. And so how good is Aaron Dell? He's pretty good, actually. For a backup goaltender, he's not a number one. He's not a starter. That's for dang sure. But as a number two/three, I think Aaron Dell's a quality NHL goaltender. And this is a great signing. A good insurance policy. Taking a look at his four seasons that he spent in San Jose, his only 4 years in the NHL, his first year was his best year. And it's kind of gone downhill a little bit since then. But his first season, when the San Jose Sharks were a really talented team back in 16-17, he got into 20 games, spotting a .200 goals against and a .931 save percentage. Not bad. Now, that was a very talented Sharks team at the time. So, obviously, when you're playing in front of a good team, you know, you're likely to have better, you know, statistics. 17-18, 29 games with a .264 goals against and a .914 save percentage. 2018 takes a dip. 25 games with a .317 and an .886 save percentage. And then last year, with a bottom three San Jose Sharks team, he started 33 games for this team. 33 games, nearly as much as Martin Jones, their number one, whom they pay $5 million for. He had a .301 goals against and a .907 save percentage. But he had some really good stretches. Aaron Dell was a guy who I thought before they traded for Jack Campbell, Aaron Dell was one of my candidates, Why, if you go back and find a podcast back in, you know, early January or mid-January when, you know, they're talking about how the Leafs really do need to improve that backup goaltending position. And, you know, there was a lot of conversations about Georgiev. And I said, I don't think Georgiev's, no, that's going to cost a little much. Not only in terms of what it's going to cost to trade for him, because I think it would have been expensive, but also money. He was an upcoming RFA, and he actually just signed a deal this year, or earlier today, I believe it was for just a shade under $2.5 million. You know, the Leafs can't afford to pay $2.5 million for a backup goaltender. They're just not in that market. They can't do it. $800,000 for a guy like Aaron Dell? They can certainly do it. And they ended up opting to trading for Jack Campbell instead of Aaron Dell, which I was also okay with. And he's at $1.6 million, which also easily digestible contract for your number two goalie. But Aaron Dell, you know, a big reason why I felt that he could be somebody that the Maple Leafs could be interested in is because he was playing some really good hockey around December, January time before they made the move to go out and get Jack Campbell. So we'll take a look quickly at his December stats. He got into seven games, only got one win, but he had a .911 save percentage and a .281 goals against. Not that great, but then January comes around. He steals the net from Marty Jones because of his strong play, ends up starting eight games, and he went 5-3, stopping 233 of 252 shots, had a .925 save percentage and a .238 goals against. And that's an eight-game stretch, right? So that's pretty good. I think that he's a guy who, if need be, you can start in a pinch. You know, Anderson, you know, starts having migraines, or Anderson's groin acts up, whatever, you know, it may be, and he can't go that night. So you give the net to Jack Campbell, and then Aaron Dell gets called up to be the backup. And then let's say Jack Campbell goes down. I feel more comfortable with Aaron Dell being the goaltender than I would with a guy like Joseph Woll, who right now would be technically their third goalie, who's never played an NHL game. And it's very reminiscent to what happened last year with Kasimir Kaskisuo when, I believe it was against the Pittsburgh Penguins, he got shelled, absolutely shelled, because he ended up having to go into the net because they didn't end up, they didn't trust Hutchinson. But so they put Kaskisuo out there on the second night of a back-to-back, and he just got murdered by that team. I think he allowed six goals that night. It was his NHL debut. It did not go well. And I don't think the Leafs wanted to be caught in that situation again if that were to occur this season. So Aaron Dell is that insurance policy. What's interesting, too, is that, like, Kaskisuo was forced to play those games. He wasn't supposed to. Hutchinson became their backup last year. He's a fringe NHLer as the number two. Like, the Leafs don't want to be in that situation like last year where Kaskisuo was forced to play those NHL games. Hutchinson, a fringe NHLer, forced to be the number two. So if you don't want to do that, you need to add another goaltender. And for under $1 million, because then you can bury the contract and it's not going to go against the cap. So that's what they did. They went out and they got Aaron Dell, a solid number three who has NHL experience. He could start. He has multiple games in the NHL. He's had success in the NHL. And you know what? He could actually steal you a game here and there. Like, when Aaron Dell is on his A game, he's a pretty good goaltender. This is a bit of a cherry-pick stat, and I understand. But when he wins, when the San Jose Sharks won last season, a big reason for it was because Aaron Dell stood on his head. Stood on his head. In the 12 wins that they had, he had a .940 save percentage and a .191 goals against. So he was stealing games. He has the ability to do that when he's on. Now, again, I'm hoping Aaron Dell doesn't really have to play, because that would mean that either Anderson or Jack Campbell are hurt or they're not playing well. Obviously, I hope that neither of those situations occur, and we don't have to rely on Aaron Dell to play well or get into a stretch of games. And hopefully that the number one and number two goalie in Anderson and Campbell will be just fine throughout the season. But you never know. You never know. You always want to have that insurance marker, and you don't want to go into a situation where you got to bring up a guy like Kaskasuo. The other thing, too, that I was reminded about, and this is why it's important to have a third goalie, is because last season, we were all up in arms when the Leafs went into the year with Michael Hutchinson as the number two. But he wasn't supposed to be. He was supposed to be the number three. Michael Neuwirth, who had a respectable NHL career as a career backup, he was expected to be the number two behind Anderson. But he got hurt in camp and never touched the ice again for the Leafs. So bringing in a legitimate third option is going to be key for this team as an insurance policy in case the injuries pile up, which I think could be more likely next season than any other year. We're already hearing that it's going to be quite the condensed season, which means a lot of games. We were playing three games in four nights, multiple back-to-backs, heavy, heavy weeks, and it's all going to be condensed within a few months. So, you know, if you're not getting that rest and recovery period that your body is normally getting, used to getting, it kind of opens you up and makes you vulnerable to getting injured. And goalies already are vulnerable to that just because of the nature of the position. So to add more depth and competition to that position is only a good thing. And I believe that's what Aaron Dell is coming in to do. To be the third goalie who, if injuries occur, is capable enough to actually play NHL games, whereas last year they didn't have that. That's all this is. Don't think that this is a way for them to get rid of Anderson or Campbell, because I've seen that. I've seen people say, does that mean that Campbell's going to get traded? I mean, yeah, there's a scenario here where technically, if they needed to clear up another $800,000, which, I mean, arguably they could, and now I understand why it's a theory, but I don't think it's going to happen. That's a way they could do it, right? They can move money out with Campbell's $1.6 million and replace that with an $800,000 goalie in Aaron Dell as the number two. But then you're once again left with Joseph Woll as your number three, which I don't think they should do because that didn't work last year and it won't work again this year. So he's coming in to be the number three. All right, let's get to this Bill Foley comment where he discusses next year potentially having an all-Canadian division. And we'll do that right after I tell you guys about Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for your auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and then choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, price at Rock Auto are always reliably low, and the same for the professionals as the do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and write Locked On their How'd You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts a car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Okay, so let's get right down to it here. An all-Canadian division during the 2020-2021 season, potentially because of the border. So the border could become an issue and a lot of cross-traveling between Canada and the U.S. on a nightly basis if an NHL season decided to, you know, go throughout the year, you know, go throughout the schedule regularly where you could have, you know, a game, you know, Toronto has a game in Montreal and then they go to Ottawa and then to Boston and then to Detroit and then they're back up in Montreal again and then they go, you know, out west for a trip and they hit up Vegas and then they hit up LA and then they come up to Vancouver and, you know, all of this may not be feasible in a pandemic year. There are rumblings about potentially there being a bubble next season. It worked extremely well during the playoffs. They kept out COVID. It is like one of the only places in the world where COVID was inexistent. So we know that a bubble works. We know that not playing in a bubble doesn't really work. You can get by, but look at what's happening in the NFL right now. It's a scheduling nightmare. Yeah, they're eventually playing these games, but it is a nightmare. And most of these guys aren't even playing in stadiums. So it's not like they're making that much money. They just want the games to be played. So doing it in a bubble could make sense. And what Bill Foley somewhat leaked out, the owner of the Vegas Golden Knights, leaked out some interesting information that could be in the cards that has yet to go public, and he just kind of slipped out a little something. And let's just go ahead and hear what he had to say.
Well, Schmitty, I thought we gave him, put him in a good spot. He's going to a great city.
Yep, the team in your own
division. Guy coming back at you. Yeah, but they're going to be playing the Canadian division this year.
By the way, okay, you bring that up because the border is a big deal.
It is a big deal. You can't.
Big picture, what are we looking at?
I don't think that border is going to be open before January 1st if it's open January 1st. I think they're going to play the Canadian division.
Isn't that interesting? A says that he essentially, you know, oh, it doesn't matter that we trade away Nate Schmidt because they're going to be in the Canadian division. Sorry, what? Yeah. Basically, I'm not worried about it because, you know, we're not going to be able to cross over the border. The border is going to be an issue. And he's just going to be in the Canadian division. I'm sorry. That's not public information that's been discussed. Is this something that you've heard in your board of governors meetings, in your owners meetings? Is this something that you know, the owners have discussed with Gary Bettman? Because it hasn't been discussed with the media. It hasn't been discussed in public. So I think he let something slip here, and this could be interesting. An all-Canadian division. A lot have actually asked for this in the past. Now, it doesn't make sense in terms of travel, obviously, right? Going from, you know, Toronto to Vancouver and then to Edmonton and then back to Montreal. And it's just, you know, it's such a large country that all that travel, crossing through three time zones, it's just not feasible. This doesn't make sense. But if you bubble it and everyone's in the same time zone, and nobody has to go over the border, now it makes a little bit of sense. And technically, we already know of two cities that have been able to bubble up their, have, you know, set up bubbles that we saw in the playoffs, both Toronto and Edmonton, and have it work. So whether it's in Toronto or it's in Edmonton, I think this is really, really interesting. But what does this mean for the Leafs? Well, let me just, before we talk about what this means for the Leafs, I think this could be good for the league, actually. Sports across the board have suffered a massive hit in ratings. I saw a study that came out where the NHL, I think it was down like 34%, like the Stanley Cup final was down 34% from last year. You know, the NBA final also down like 30-something percent. The NFL down 20%. Like, across the board, people just aren't watching sports right now. Whether it's, you know, they didn't really say what it's up to. It's a bunch of different things. Whether it's because it's become political, or, you know, the campaign, people are paying attention to the U.S. election a little bit more. You know, the fact that people are paying attention to the virus, where they're just constantly watching, you know, news outlets like CNN or Fox News instead of watching the game like they usually would. You know, there's just a lot of current world issues that people are paying attention to above sports. I would say more so the passive sports watchers than the hardcore ones. But you know what? 34%, there's probably a few hardcore ones that also are doing the same thing. But to get back to the point that I was trying to make here, about how I think it could be good for the league is that if you have a full-on Canadian division, I think Canadians, when it comes to hockey, we're not shying away as much as the Americans might. So it kind of solidifies some semblance of positive ratings. And like everybody would be able to watch them, and Canadians are going to watch. You know, so if it's Montreal versus Toronto, that's going to have high ratings. Montreal or Toronto versus Edmonton, that's going to have high ratings. Vancouver, Toronto, high ratings. I could go across the board and talk about every single Canadian market, which are among some of the top markets in the world, in the league. So I think it could be an opportunity to really gain some momentum with viewers with some of the game's hottest markets. Like, you don't just have to be from Toronto to be a Leafs fan. You don't have to just be from Vancouver to be a Canucks fan. Same with the Habs, Sens. I got buddies. I'm from the Niagara region. We got tons of fans. We got guys from Buffalo, Buffalo fans. We've got Leafs fans. We've got Sens fans. We've got Canucks fans. You got fans everywhere. I can't really say the same about, like, a team like Columbus. Outside of Columbus, there's not a lot of Blue Jackets fans out there. And if you are, power to you. You know, good for you. I'm not one of them. I don't know many either. But when it comes to Canadian teams, they're kind of scattered all throughout the country and in the States. So I think if you have a Canadian market where you have a lot of kind of super games, which I believe a Canadian team, you know, an all-Canadian matchup kind of is a big super team, I think that could work. And then even the States, I feel like Americans would be more interested in watching like a Boston versus Chicago as opposed to Boston versus, you know, Ottawa. You know, I feel like there are more, you know, rivalries within the countries. It could be interesting. I kind of like the idea of it. Now, what does this mean for the Leafs? Well, if you look at their division now, you got Toronto, Montreal, and Ottawa as the three lone Canadian clubs. They've got Buffalo, Detroit, Florida, Boston, and the Tampa Bay Lightning. They'd be gone. So we wouldn't have to worry about playing Tampa. Wouldn't have to worry about playing Boston. Wouldn't have to worry about playing Taylor Hall, Jack Eichel, and the Buffalo Sabres. Florida, nope. Detroit, unfortunately, won't be able to play them and pad the stats and rack up points. that's the one flaw here. You won't be able to mop up the floor with the Detroit Red Wings. But you know what? Losing Tampa and Boston, not a bad idea. You know, I think that puts Toronto in a pretty good position to win a lot of games. Because instead of Boston and Tampa, along with Florida, Buffalo, and Detroit, you had Vancouver, good team. Winnipeg, decent team. Calgary, and Edmonton. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to be a tough division. I think all around, you know, the Canadian teams actually did a really good job this offseason improving all of them, if I'm being quite honest. I've been impressed with a lot of teams, and when I go through my divisional power rankings in just a moment, I'll kind of go through them and discuss, you know, how I think each team got better and why I've got them slotted where they're slotted. But I think that could be really, really intriguing. You know, the Leafs versus Vancouver on a Tuesday night, that's going to grow a bigger pop than Leafs and Columbus on a Tuesday night. A bigger buzz. Fan bases will be much more intrigued. And as a Canadian, I like watching the Canadian teams. Plus, that'll guarantee at least three Canadian teams will make the playoffs. Right? I mean, we went, what year was it? A couple of years ago where not a single Canadian team made the playoffs. It was brutal. Maybe one of them made. I can't remember, but I think it was zero, actually. No, Toronto made the playoffs that year, but that was it. Then they got eliminated, and then there was nothing. So, you know, that's one other thing as well. But I really do think that this is an intriguing idea. And we'll see if it happens. Okay, coming up on the other side, We're going to talk about, and I'm going to lay down my all-Canadian division power rankings. So if this division really happens, going into next year, as it all stands now, how do my power rankings rack up, stack up? I'll tell you in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about Built Go. Built Go, it's the Built Bar's newest product. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. Break through a wall, whether it's mental or a physical wall, break through with Go every day. It's easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. Put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power you through the back nine, or put it in your pocket to get you through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. It's got 3 delicious flavors. You can get either peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, or chocolate mint. How's the Built Go work so well? Well, let me tell you, the Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, and the collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into the system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you can get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off BuiltGo.com. Let's go. All right, welcome back to Locked On Leafs podcast. Mike DiStefano still with you here. So we were just discussing this all-Canadian division that Bill Foley, owner of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, or Vegas Golden Knights, whatever one it is, it's the Las Vegas Raiders and the Vegas Golden Knights. How does that make sense? I don't know. But anyways, they're discussing, or he kind of let it slip that he's not worried about trading Schmidt to Vancouver because they're going to be playing in the Canadian division. Pretty much alluding that there's been discussion and conversation about that happening. So, yeah, we discussed what that means, how it could benefit both the league and the Leafs. Now let's talk about the teams as a whole. We're going to do the Atlantic, or the All-Canadian Division Power Rankings. All right, so I'm going to start from the 7th all the way down to the best team, and we'll rank them. We'll see, you know, what they did to improve their stock, what they did to kill their stock, the weaknesses, strengths on the team, and then see who I believe shakes out as the winner if this were to happen. So let's start with 7. Number 7, the worst Canadian team in the league. I think we can all agree that it's, despite making great improvements this offseason, out of Edmonton, Winnipeg, Ottawa, Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto, and Calgary, Ottawa is definitely still the worst Canadian team in the league. Look, like I said, they made significant improvements to that squad over the summer. They weaponized some cap space to go out and get some decent players and make some good signings. They used their plethora of draft picks to trade for actual players who can help them now. One of those being number one starting goaltender Matt Murray, whom they signed to a too lucrative deal, if I'm being completely honest. I think 6.25 for an off-injured Matt Murray is a little skeptical, especially when a guy like Markstrom, who's an elite goaltender, who we'll talk about in a moment, only got $6 million. But I digress. But today they went out and they signed Evgeny Dadonov. 3-year contract, $5 million a season. You know, he's somebody who scored at least 25 goals in each of the 3 years that he's been back since coming back from the KHL. You know, this guy can put the puck in the net. Pretty good player. You know, they traded for Austin Watson, good depth piece. They traded for good Branson. He's a little over the hill, and the game's kind of sped past him, but great locker room guy. And I think with a young team, they need somebody like that. We'll see if Stützle ends up coming in. He was their third overall pick in the draft. I guess he had some surgery to repair, I think it was a shoulder injury. Go check out Locked On Sens. I bet Ross Levitan will be chatting about that over the next little bit. But if he's back, we'll see if he gets an opportunity. Kachuk's a year older. Colin White. Josh Norris is a year older. Branson. Like, they've got some good young pieces, and they could surprise, technically. But I still see them as the bottom dwellers in this all-Canadian division. Next up, might be surprised. Maybe not. But the Edmonton Oilers. They haven't really added much And although, yes, they finished technically in a playoff position this year, they lost to the Chicago Blackhawks, who were the 12th seed. A big reason why they lost this year was, A, they couldn't... the biggest reason why they lost is because they couldn't make a save. Like, Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith just forgot how to play goaltender once the playoffs hit. And most of the season. But, you know, goaltending is huge. And that's the reason why Calgary has moved up this list so much. Because they went out and they solidified their goaltending position. Edmonton didn't do that. They missed out. I believe it was between Calgary and Edmonton, actually, for Markstrom. And then once Edmonton didn't land him, they went circle back to Mike Smith and brought him back on a one-year pretty cheap contract. They did bring back Jesse Puljujärvi, who was a fourth overall pick a few years back, actually in the Matthews draft. But he spent the last couple, two seasons? One season? I think it's just one season. In Finland. Because for whatever reason, he felt entitled and didn't want to play. I believe it's two seasons, actually. Didn't want to play for the Edmonton Oilers, and the Oilers didn't want to trade him either. They signed Kyle Turris. Turris hasn't really been a relevant player in the NHL for a couple of years, but he goes on a cheap contract. He'll get an opportunity to play in the top nine. Probably get an opportunity to play in the power play. We'll see what happens there. They get Tyson Barrie. If there's anything that Leafs fans know about Tyson Barrie, it's that he is going to make these Oilers fans rip their hair out. Because he can make some flashy-ass plays. But then he can really make you look at him and say, what are you doing? Well, do you know how to play hockey? Do you know how to skate? Do you know where to put your stick? So you'll get that with Tyson Barrie, but he lands in a pretty good spot. As much as I rag on the guy, he's still a good defenseman. He's an NHL defenseman. And he's going to rack up points. He's going to quarterback that power play, which is already the best in the league. And they're just going to, he's just going to fire the stick or fire the puck up to McDavid and just get himself some points. You know, Yamamoto, a year older. The reason why Edmonton also, a big reason why I think that they're not going to have a great season. They got an injury to Oscar Klefbom, which is probably going to linger into the season, and he's their best defenseman. So you already have suspect goaltending. Your best defender is going to be out for some time to start. Yeah, McDavid and Draisaitl are two of the best players in the league, but I think we saw in the playoffs that it doesn't matter. Hockey's a team game. You need to have more than two guys, and it just doesn't seem like they got it. They just got those two players. And it gets a little thin after that. I should put some respect. I should give Nuge some respect. He's a legitimate top sixer. But outside of that, it gets pretty thin. All right, let's move on here. The Winnipeg Jets. So Paul Stastny comes back to Winnipeg. He'll slide into the number two center role. I still think there's some holes here on defense, though. Like, they didn't really... last season, they lost their entire right side. They lost four of their six defensemen from the year before, and they didn't replace any of them. And they're hoping that their young guys are just going to be able to come through and develop. Like, they did sign for, or they did trade for Dylan DeMello at the deadline, and then they did re-sign him. So I suppose they, you know, one of them got filled with DeMello, but outside of him, they're going to be a really, really young group on the back end. And then the question comes is, can Connor Hellebuck replicate his success last season in front of a suspect defensive core? I don't know. I'm not going to bet on it. Goalies are voodoo. They don't typically have multiple good seasons in a row for whatever reason. They just don't. And if they don't get A-plus Vezina goaltending out of Hellebuck next season, I don't see him as a playoff team. So that's why they come in at number five in the All-Canadian division. Number four, the Montreal Canadiens. Look, I really like what Montreal did this offseason. They may even be a little bit low on this list. They might be a bit higher. But, you know, for now, I'm just going to keep them at number four, and I'll explain why as I get to the top three. But, look, they added Tyler Toffoli. This guy could score you 25 to 30 goals. They added Josh Anderson. If healthy, big if, he can score you 25 to 30 goals. He's a mean dude. He's feisty. Something that Montreal was really trying to add, much like Toronto. And they did that with Anderson, and they did on the back end by adding Joel Edmondson, whom they gave up a draft pick for and ended up signing to an extension. So he kind of rounds out the good depth that they have out there on the blue line. They go out, they get themselves a quality number two goaltender. If any fan base knows how important having a number two, a backup goalie is, it is us Toronto fans. So the fact that they actually went out and paid a decent premium to go out and get Jake Allen, who's making $4.3 million this year. He did sign an extension for just a shade under three going forward over the next 2 years, but they solidified that backup, that number two position, which is important. Something that they've struggled with along with the Maple Leafs for a few seasons now. So because of that, the amount of back-to-backs that they're going to be having next year, most likely that is, obviously the schedule hasn't come out yet, but we're anticipating a lot of back-to-backs just to try and get that condensed season in time. You're just going to see, you know, the backup goalies play more. They're going to be more valuable. And the fact that they have one, whereas a team like Winnipeg doesn't really. They got Brassois. Nah. You know, how do you feel about Mike Smith and Edmonton? Eh. Yeah, Ottawa, they're number one. A, can he stay healthy? And B, who's their number two? Hogberg? Perhaps. Anders Nielsen? Eh. You know, so I think that that's a big boon for Montreal to add that second goaltender. That should help them out this year greatly. Coming at number three, I got the Calgary Flames. They got themselves an elite goaltender in Jacob Markstrom. They haven't had a goalie since Mika Kiprusoff. It's been a decade since Mika was there. So they have just been rolling through goalies left, right, and center. And finally, they go out, they sign themselves a top 10 goalie in the league, 6 years, $6 million per, and they're hoping that he could be the backbone for that team. They added Chris Tanev, a buddy of Markstrom, coming along from Vancouver. Right-hand shot defenseman. Tough guy, eats pucks, heart and soul type player. Good locker room guy. But they lost other pieces on the blue line. So, you know, they lost some depth, but they added that goalie. And here's something that's also interesting about Calgary. They only have 9 forwards right now under contract. I could see them being in the mix for a guy like Hoffman. I really can. Or maybe Eric Halla. So I don't think Calgary's done. I think they got some adding to do. And I think that they'll be a pretty good team going forward. I think Goudreau rebounds, Monahan rebounds. They've got a decent squad. So I have them at number three. And mainly just because look how successful they were last year. And that was without a bona fide goaltender. Now they got it. Sure, they lost Hamonic and TJ Brody. But they replace one of those with Tanev. And they got some young kids coming up too. And they got the goaltender. So I think that Calgary slides in there at number three. And I think it makes sense. Number two, the Vancouver Canucks. Yep, I got Vancouver here at number two, which obviously means we got Toronto at number one. Look, Jim Benning took a beating out in Vancouver this week, but this is a team that pushed Vegas to seven games in the conference semis, round 2/3, right? Usually it's round two, but this year it was round three because of the play-in round, and yeah, you know what I'm saying. Now, they lost Jacob Markstrom, they lost Tyler Toffoli, and they lost Chris Tanev. So your number one starting goaltender, a top six goal-scoring winger, and your first pair and shutdown defender. To most, that would be pretty detrimental. But what did they do? Well, right away, they went out and they signed Braden Holtby to a pretty modest contract, 2 years, $4.3 million. And he's going to compete now with Thatcher Demko, who looks like a star in the making. The way that he played against Vegas in the playoffs back when Markstrom got hurt, this kid looks like an absolute stud. But they bring in a guy like Holtby on a two-year deal to kind of bridge that gap. Now, they're not quite ready to give him the reins just yet, but they'll be a solid tandem. So, Markstrom and Holtby, kind of a wash. Okay, so now you're sitting there, all right, so they lost a top-six player, and then they lost a first-pairing defenseman. Well, then you hear that they've traded for Nate Schmidt, a third-round pick for Nate Schmidt, a guy who, by the way, I would have loved Toronto to get in on. Unfortunately, $5.9 million is a little bit too high of a ticket these days. But Nate Schmidt's a hell of a player, and he's going to slide onto that right side, probably play with Quinn Hughes, and that's going to be a formidable top pairing for a while out in Vancouver, or even maybe even Alex Edler, and they become just like a big shutdown line. So they replace Markstrom, and they replace Tanev with a better player. So now it's really just time to Foley. And Toffoli actually missed most of the playoffs. He got hurt in like the first game of the playoffs and only came back in the round against Vegas. So they made it through the round against Minnesota and the round against St. Louis without him. So, I mean, Vancouver, to me, still the best team out West. And still have a pretty good shot at making a run here in the playoffs, right? Pedersen's going to be a year older. Besser's going to be a year older. Bo Horvat really, you know, showed that he could be an absolute stud in the NHL. So I think Vancouver comes in at number two. I think it makes sense. Which means the Toronto Maple Leafs are the best team in my power rankings in the All-Canadian Division. It's pretty self-explanatory, is it not? Look, the Leafs are a better team. They're the best Canadian team. Both off the ice and on the ice. Off the ice because, well, they're the number one hockey market in the world. On the ice, okay, I'll give you this. On paper, they're a little less skilled than they were a year ago. But they're going to be tougher to play against. They're going to be more balanced. And that, I think, is going to be key going into next year. Balance, toughness, depth, to go along with the already speedy and skilled team that you had. Guys, I really think that the Leafs are a better team next season than they were this past. I'm excited for next year. And if we get this all-Canadian division, I like Toronto's chances of running the tables and winning the division. They probably would not win the division if this doesn't happen and they got to go up against Tampa. Let's face it, Tampa's the best team in the league. They just won the Stanley Cup. That's pretty good validation for being the best team in the league. But in this all-Canadian division, there is no Tampa. There is no Boston. Right? So now, you'll look, it's like, okay, we've used to being the third best team. Now we have an opportunity to actually win the division. And that could very well happen. You know, they're better than Ottawa. They're better than Edmonton, better than Winnipeg, Montreal, Calgary, and I think they are better than Vancouver. Although Vancouver made it far, and there was a lot of people talking about how Vancouver is probably Canada's best chance to win a cup, I don't know about that, especially after seeing what Toronto did. You know, adding TJ Brody, big-time addition. Wayne Simmons, making you tougher to play against. I think VC's going to be a sneaky good add. I don't think he's a throwaway depth piece who might find his way into the lineup. I think he's going to find his way into the lineup. I think that he'll be a decent addition and make somewhat of an impact on this team. You know, Bogosian, right? Your core four, a year older. You solidified the goaltending position. Three guys deep now at the signing of Aaron Dell. Like what Toronto did this offseason. And I think they would be the best team in this all-Canadian division. All right, that was a lot of fun. I really liked doing that one. That was a good podcast, a lot of fun, but that's going to do it for us here today. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcasts and platforms and receive daily Leafs content. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Leafs. Follow myself at Mickey_Canuck. And if you want some more Hawk Talk, be sure to check out the Locked On NHL podcast, where myself and four other Locked On hosts discuss the latest around the NHL. I'll be back with another episode tomorrow, but until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On Leafs.